Hello, and welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your prescription for happier, healthier homeschooling. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Let's get started. Hey, homeschoolers. I recently spoke about how valuable audiobooks are in homeschooling. I'll put the link to it in today's show notes. But I'm excited about my guest today, who will help us identify the best audiobooks to listen to now that we are sheltering in. Of course, these are great choices anytime. Today's episode is brought to you by Grammar Galaxy Nebula in audiobook form. It makes a great review of the basic parts of speech, but in a way that is engaging for the whole family. A professional narrator brings the stories to life.
Both of the elder English children turned to look at Luke. He had a gift for gaming, but had a difficult time paying attention to much of anything else. They wondered how they could possibly need his help.
"I'll fight too,"
Luke proclaimed, pretending to kick and punch aliens. Little Comet barked his approval. The king couldn't help but smile at his children's courage, but they didn't know what was happening. He asked the children to take a seat and ordered the screen to play a commercial. Kids appeared on the screen who were using gaming devices to fire at alien ships. The game-playing kids laughed and smiled while an announcer spoke. "Our children, the hope of Grammar Galaxy. They can learn the battle skills they will need to defeat aliens in the future. Or..." The screen changed to images of children bored with books. "We can insist that children waste their time on books," the announcer sneered. "The future belongs to gamers, not readers." The commercial ended with a boy and girl celebrating their destruction of an alien ship. The announcer rapidly concluded, "Paid for by citizens for a better galaxy."
"That was awesome," Luke exclaimed. "Do you want us to become better gamers so we can save the galaxy?"
"No," his father answered, getting louder. "That's the opposite of what we want."
"Children," the queen began, "Grammar Galaxy owes its very existence to books."
Download Grammar Galaxy Nebula at grammargalaxybooks.com/shop. Now for my interview with beloved audiobook narrator Jim Hodges.
Jim, thank you so much for joining me today on the Homeschool Sanity Show. It's been a time where I've wanted to have you on, but we've both been so busy with traveling and conventions, and now we have the opportunity to get together.
Yay, because we're stuck at home.
That's right. So we're going to make lemonade out of lemons.
There you go.
And we're going to get started by having you tell us more about you and your family and how you became involved with homeschooling.
Okay, I'm 61 years old for at least another week or two. Many years ago, my wife and I were in the Navy and starting to have children. We were both active duty Navy, actually. And after Monica got out, I stayed in, and she kept asking me about this homeschooling. You know, she'd heard about it and knew some people who were doing it and was very desirous of homeschooling our children as well. I was not enthusiastic about that possibility. In fact, I made a bargain with Monica. I said, "Okay, tell you what, let's do this. Let's homeschool one of our kids for 1 year, and then we'll decide what to do." We had three at the time. Luke was in third grade, Shannon was going into kindergarten, and Matthew was only three, I think, at the time. So we had three young children. So we decided to send Shannon to kindergarten and keep Luke home for third grade. He'd been going to public school. Well, by Christmas, we took Shannon out of kindergarten and brought her home and homeschooled all three of our children all the way through high school. We used a variety of different curricula, materials, auxiliary, you know, products. And it really was a great it was a great thing for us because I was in the military and I was transferred every few years. So that was kind of the excuse we used with our extended families to explain to them why we felt like homeschooling was a good choice for us. Why put the kids in school and then have to pull them out after a few years and go to a new school and then pull them out after a few years. Mm-hmm. And because our families were not very supportive of this decision of ours. The fascinating thing to us was that after a time, when they saw the kind of kids that we had and how well behaved they were, how well socialized they were, how confident they were, they gradually became more and more supportive of our decision to do that. It was a great and difficult decision. It was not infrequently that we would think about maybe putting them into school for a year or something like that, but we never did. We just kind of, and you know, of course, Monica did the vast majority of the work, as most moms do. I helped with, you know, reading out loud to the kids and kind of being the principal and checking papers and that kind of thing. But it was really Monica that did the vast majority of the work. But we were a good team, I think. We incorporated a lot of museums. We incorporated a lot of museums and field trips and things like that into our homeschool and called a lot of things school. And really, really enjoyed it. But I think the best thing about it for us was Monica's ability to focus on the kids and their personalities and their strengths and our relationship with our children. We are really good friends with all three of our kids as adults, and I think that's really one of the greatest benefits that we personally got out of homeschooling. Mm. My oldest, Luke, got a commission in the Navy. He was recently sent by the Navy to Harvard for his master's degree in business administration. Wow. So I didn't even have to pay for my son to get his master's degree. Harvard MBA. Our daughter Shannon kind of took a different route. She wanted to travel and was interested in languages. So she actually, upon graduation from high school, went to Paris for 6 or 9 months and was an au pair for a cousin of Monica's. And so she was working on her French and living in Paris as a young adult. She then went to South Korea and taught English as a second language there. And then when she and her husband got married, they went to China for a year to teach English as a second language. So she kind of took a different path.
Yes.
Matthew earned a full scholarship, 100% tuition fees and books to any state school in Oklahoma, and so he went to the University of Oklahoma for free. So
wow.
It worked out in that way for us as well. After I got out of the Navy, my wife and I were at a Cracker Barrel for our date night. Now, this is actually a year before I got out. And she said to me, you know, what are you going to do when you get out of the Navy? Have you thought about that? And I said, well, you know, we're in the capital of Oklahoma City. It was my last duty station at a reserve center. I'm a great administrator. That's what I do, office administration. Surely I can get an administrative kind of job with the state of Oklahoma. And if not, there's Tinker Air Force Base right here. I can go get a job there. So, you know, I'll find something. And then she asked what I considered to be like the magic life-altering question that I never would have expected, but she said, well, don't even think about money. And frankly, I thought that's why she was asking. She was worried about where the next paycheck
right.
was coming from. She said, don't even think about money. Just think about what you would absolutely love to do as a job, and you were going to make enough money doing that, and you'd be happy. And just pick the job that you would love to do. I said, oh, that's an easy one. I'd record books. And she looked at me and said, okay, now, riddle me this. I've known you for 19 years or maybe 20 years at that point, and we've been married for 19, and I have never heard you mention this before. Where on earth did that idea come from? And I told her, I don't really know. It just always, I've always kind of liked the idea of working from home. And I love to read out loud. We met when I was in a play and you were on stage crew. And and so, you know, I do the performing thing. And I just thought, you know, if I could stay at home and record books, that would be a fantastic job. And she said, three magic words, let's try that. Oh my gosh. So, you know, oh, okay. So it might have been the next day we drove to the library and checked out some audiobooks and hopped into the car and started driving around listening to a couple of audiobooks. And the first one was just terrible. The second one was pretty good, but I learned really quickly that the reader didn't really care about the story. He only cared about the sound of his voice. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I can certainly do that. And so anyway, I tried to do it for major publishing houses, and they wanted me to move to their studios. And I said, no, I can do this at home. So I ended up just starting my own audiobook business. I just started recording at home and producing audiobooks and selling them at homeschool conventions. And that was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I've been doing it ever since. And I love it. I still love it. I was recording this morning. So it's something that I just love to do.
Well, you said something in there that caught my attention in the middle of social distancing, and that is you got in the car and listened to an audiobook.
You know, we did.
Depending on the laws in your area of the country, you might be able to do that. You know, just go for a drive with your family and listen to an audiobook that way.
True.
Yeah. So why not?
The bickering level goes down to about zero when the kids are listening to an audio. It's so, I hear it over and over and over.
Yes.
This has been a godsend. The kids just listen to the story. They're looking out the window. They're drawing pictures in their heads. They're making movies in their minds of the story that they're hearing. And they're not worried about, you know, their legs touching their neighbor or, you know, I mean, they're just, they've got other things to be thinking about. And so, yeah, it really is an amazing thing.
Right. And what you just did right there is a fantastic transition to the next thing that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, perfect.
How
prescient.
Which is, I wanted to talk a little bit more than I've already talked about the value and advantages of audiobooks. So I know that you reviewed my recent episode on the subject.
I did.
And I would love to hear what you would like to add to that. So you just gave one addition, which is it can reduce the bickering in the car, right?
Yes.
Do you have anything else that you would like to tell us about?
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with your audiobooks post on your site in that it will grow kids' vocabulary, number one. How do children learn new words? They hear them being spoken and used appropriately in context. That's how they learn vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
If you're following along in the text, you can learn pronunciation. You see this word and you hear somebody reading it out loud and you go, oh, it's not pronounced Versailles. It's pronounced Versailles. And, you know, you might not know why, but at least you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're engaging. They're a great incentive. They save a lot of time. I agree with all of those points that you made. I would add, from my product line anyway, you're going to learn history. Your kids are going to learn history. I am convinced that many, many, many mothers do not like history and don't know how to teach history because the teacher that they had in high school was the football coach. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Or he was the basketball coach, or she was the gym teacher who had to have, you know, somebody who didn't care a whit about history. They were told, we'd love for you to be our football coach. Why don't you be the history teacher? Here's the textbook we have selected. And so that's what they did. They taught history because they had to. And so when you don't have a great model of exciting history being taught and a great way to learn history through stories, then you're not interested in history. And I think a lot of mothers suffer from that, in that they never got interested in history because the teacher wasn't interested in history necessarily. So what my audiobooks do, and a lot of other audiobooks as well, not just mine, they teach history, but they do it through a story that happens to be set in an historical time period and during exciting times or pivotal times in world or U.S. history. So that's another thing that you can get out of an audiobook. One of the things I like is when you're reading a book or you're listening to an audiobook, it's the author's job to write the lines for the characters and through them attempt to communicate what this person is feeling, what this person is thinking, what they're going through emotionally because of the story that's happening around them. The reader is supposed to enter into that person and become that person and read those lines in such a way that the listener can empathize with what's happening with that character. And I take a huge amount of responsibility to translate the author to the listener through the characters and the way they talk and the pause and the emphasis and the lilt of the voice of each character so that the listener can enter into what that character is feeling. I believe that all of my books are totally appropriate for Christian homeschooling families. There's no foul language. There's no inappropriate behavior. The hero character in virtually all of them is somebody that you would want your children to emulate. Mm-hmm. You want your children to be like these heroes. So you learn character training by listening to an audiobook, as you would through reading good literature and reading good stories. The last thing that I think is fascinating, I keep finding study after study after study being done, university level, state-sponsored, government-sponsored studies, because of the growth in audiobooks, the concern is that you're cheating your kids, that you're not getting the same value out of that book as you would if you were reading it. And study after study after study has come to the same conclusion. Listening to a book is reading that book as far as your brain is concerned. The same areas of the brain light up. Of course, the visual cortex lights up if you're reading and the auditory cortex lights up if you're listening. But outside of that, all of the other areas of the brain that light up for one light up for the other. Mm-hmm. Your brain thinks that it's reading or treats the incoming information the same whether you are reading or listening. So have no fear if you've got a dyslexic, if you've got a child who just doesn't enjoy reading or is struggling with reading in some way, having them listen to an audiobook is virtually the same thing as having them read that book. So those are four things in addition to the stuff that you've got on your site that I would add as benefits for audiobooks.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I am a big believer in audiobooks. I've seen the advantages of them for my children and my friends' children who do have dyslexia and other reading difficulties. So I've seen these audiobooks help bring students who struggle in reading up to grade level and even beyond at times because of the vocabulary being such a high level.
Yes, exactly. I have a quick story, if you don't mind, to reinforce that point. A customer of mine wrote me an email and said, "Jim, one of the most amazing things happened. I've got a son who is severely dyslexic, can hardly read a thing. He took the SATs. He failed the comprehension portion. Read this wide column of text and then answer questions about it. He just virtually failed it. Mm-hmm. And yet he practically aced the vocabulary portion of the SAT. And the counselor called us in to discuss the results and said, I don't get this, Mrs. Mount. How can your son be so poor in this area and so strong in this area?" And she said, "Well, he's dyslexic, so reading a large volume of text is really almost impossible for him. So it doesn't surprise me that he failed that portion." Mm-hmm. However, the vocabulary section is one word, and then there's four answers underneath it with a lot of white space, and that's easier for him to focus on. Mm-hmm. Number two, he listens to Jim Hodges' audiobook recordings of the George Alfred Henty historical novels, and the vocabulary in those books is astounding.
It is, yes.
And so, anyway, that's a reinforcing your point there.
That is wonderful. Okay, so here's the problem that I have as a parent, and I imagine so many other parents listening have as well, and that is, okay, so I have extra time for my kids right now, and I want them to spend time listening to audiobooks.
Okay.
I am overwhelmed with all the options.
Right.
You know, I don't know where to start. What are the best audiobooks to choose, which will really inspire my kids and keep their attention? And so I am turning to you to get some advice, to get some teasers on the best titles that you have. So I know you have titles that are children's books. They are classic literature. You have the Henty historical novels that you've mentioned. I know you have some Christian titles, and you even have some old radio shows. Is that right?
I do.
Okay, well, give us some teasers and whet our appetite for some of what you consider to be your very best books.
All right. I'm going to go from youngest to oldest. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. I have on my website a young listeners collection. I think probably, oh gosh, now that I'm looking at the list on my screen, it's like, oh my gosh, what do I pick? I'm gonna start with probably one of the more elementary ones. And it's been out for a long time. It is, I believe, my best-selling download off of my website. And that is Stories of the Pilgrims. It was written by Margaret Pumphreys in the early 1900s, and it tells the story of the Pilgrims, but it's telling it as if one of William Brewster's children is writing the story. So it's a very kid-friendly edition. It's from a kid's perspective. It starts off in Scrooby, England. The Queen visits the house, which she actually did. It talks about the sailing over to Holland and their years in Holland and then coming back to England and the Speedwell having to turn back for that and the Mayflower crossing of the Atlantic. And so it goes through every significant event in the Pilgrim story, but it does so at an extremely elementary level. I actually learned new information that I did not know about the Pilgrims while reading this book, which really kind of surprised me. And anytime that happens, as I'm recording a book or when I'm finished, I go, let me see if that's accurate, because I believe it to be. And then I do some research and I go, oh my gosh, they were absolutely right. That kid really did fall overboard. He really did just, in his flailing around, happen to grab the one errant rope that happened to be dragging along in the water and was able to save himself and pull himself back on board the ship, which, I mean, it was a miraculous event that nobody died on the trip over. Mm. So that is the kind of thing that I like about the books that I've recorded for kids. Almost all of them, if not all of them, I'd have to do a mental checklist, are told from the perspective of a young person or about a young person. So your younger listeners, probably 5 to 10-year-olds, are going to really resonate with those characters and feel like, oh boy, they're just like me, you know, that kind of a sensation that a little child would have listening to a story. I do have some goofy, just animals living in the forest stories too. Mm-hmm. Uncle Wiggly is kind of fun, but those are for very young listeners, probably 3 or 4 or 5 even. So I think Stories of the Pilgrims is probably my favorite in the young listeners collection.
Okay. All right.
Let's do classic literature. I think from my perspective, oh gosh, no, there it is. No, I was going to talk about one, but when I see the list, I'm going to talk about a different one. So Mark Twain wrote a lot of books that are considered, you know, classic literature. But let me read what he wrote about this book that I recorded a couple years ago. I like this book best of all my books, and it is the best. I know it perfectly well. And besides, it furnished me 7 times the pleasure afforded me by any of the others, 12 years of preparation and 2 years of writing. The others needed no preparation and got none. So that's what the author said about this book.
Wow. I'm so curious now.
I'll tell you. I was dumbfounded, flummoxed, flabbergasted by this book. It's called Joan of Arc. Mm. Mark Twain wrote a book called Joan of Arc that is historical fiction, but it is highly, highly accurate history. It is the best book I've ever recorded.
Wow.
Hands down. I was going to talk about Treasure Island or maybe Robinson Crusoe, and then I pulled up my own list and I thought, oh, no, I have to talk about Joan of Arc. I saw this book at a homeschool fair. It was sticking up behind a few other books. It said Joan of Arc. I thought, oh my gosh, that would be interesting. I don't really know anything about Joan of Arc. I'm really curious. And I pulled it up, and sure enough, it was written by Mark Twain, and he absolutely considered it to be the best book ever wrote.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. It's just an amazing book. Really, really good. But I do have, you know, I've got Robinson Crusoe and Treasure Island and, you know, a couple other really good books, but that's got to be the best one out of the lot. The Christian books, I think my best title there is, God's Mighty Hand is the name of it.
Okay.
So a friend of mine named Richard Little Bear Wheeler wrote this book many years ago. He was very popular in the Southwest doing homeschool conventions. He would dress up as historical characters and tell the life stories of these godly heroes from history. And he wrote this book, God's Mighty Hand. It contains 80 different stories about God's providential intervention in the affairs of men throughout history, where the circumstances would look to be very dire, but because of a providential occurrence, things came out the way God wanted them to. The Pilgrim story is in there. The story of George Washington was in there. Patrick Henry, George Washington, Napoleon, Charlemagne, Alexander the Great. There's stories from the lives of all of these people. There are some amazing stories in this book about basically miracles from history that nobody would necessarily, a non-religious person would say, no, that was just luck. Well, mm-hmm. I'm not convinced. And there's 80 stories in this book, and they're all absolutely amazing. And I would say that this is my favorite and best out of the overtly Christian line, I call it.
Okay.
So let's see, what other categories?
So you have the old radio?
Oh, old time radio, yes. Old time radio. I think my best of the old time, I mean, I've got Horizons West, which was about the Lewis and Clark expedition. Believe it or not, I've got Superman, Sherlock Holmes, Ozzie and Harriet. Wow. I've got a lot of Lone Ranger. I've got a lot of fun stuff in there. But I think my favorites are the You Are There collections. After the Second World War, radio stations across the country suddenly had a lot of airtime and not as much to talk about. So what they did was CBS went out and hired a couple of their more famous frontline World War II reporters. They pulled them in and they said, look, guys, everybody knows your voice. Everybody knows your delivery. Everybody knows you as being a reporter. And it was John Daly and John Hollenbeck primarily. So what we would like to do is we want to write scripts about historical events. And we want you to pretend with us that radio was available at the fall of Troy, at the assassination of Julius Caesar, at the Battle of Hastings, when Drake defeats the Spanish Armada, when Napoleon returns from Elba and begins his 100-day reign in France. And you pretend that you're a reporter on scene at these historical events, and people at home are listening on the radio to you report about these events from history. Mm-hmm. And it is full of multiple sound effects, musical interludes, man on the street interviews, and they really recreate these historical events in half-hour programs. And one of the things that I really loved about them was I know a lot of history, mm-hmm. and I know how accurate these representations are. And for the stories that I don't know so much about, the accuracy of the ones I do know a lot about makes me confident that they are accurately portraying the history and the other events. So,
right,
they are rollicking good stories. I think my favorite is probably the signing of the Magna Carta. It's just really, really well done, and you get a lot of backstory as to what brought that about, and it is the basis of our law system today. So, anyway, mm-hmm. that's a great one. So, the last thing I've got are the George Alfred Henty historical novels. Now, this is what I started with. When I wanted to record history, I was really looking for things that would teach history in a really interesting way. I wanted good books. I was focusing on teenaged boys, mm-hmm. you know, young men, because I thought there's really not a lot of good stuff out there for young men. I've discovered that girls like these books just as much. Mm-hmm. But I asked all of my homeschooling friends, hey, I want to start an audiobook business. I got a lot of encouragement for that, which I was very grateful for. But I'm looking for an author that's written a series of books that would be good for this age group. And, you know, these people said, oh, the Henty novels. Get the George Alfred Henty novels. And this other friend said, oh, get the George Alfred Henty novels. Everybody said, get the George Alfred Henty novels. So I went to my friend Ruby Reeves, who was selling the books at the time, and I said, Ruby, can I buy a couple of these? She said, sure. So I took them home and I read them, and I came back and I said, Ruby, these are unbelievable. Are they all like this? She said, they're all like that. I said, how many did he write? She said, 122.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that ought to keep me busy. So I recorded with Lee in Virginia. So it's the tale of the Civil War from a Southerner's point of view. And the next book I recorded was In Freedom's Cause, which was the Braveheart story. And that movie had not been out for very long, so I thought that would resonate. And I took them to a homeschool convention in Oklahoma City, and they sold really well. People were really, really happy with them. I had made sure to have one playing on the table.
Uh-huh.
And I have now recorded, I think, 31 of his unbelievable, historically accurate adventure novels. And they run... The shortest one is 7 hours and 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The longest one is 13 hours and 19 minutes. They're quite long books, but man, you will learn history. The hero character is amazing. I think my favorite has got to be True to the Old Flag. And it's the story of the American Revolutionary War, but the hero is true to the old flag. So he's British and we're the bad guys. And I've had a number of people just put it back down on the table when I tell them that. And
oh
yeah, and I think, well, okay, I mean, that's your choice, obviously. But really, if you want to know history, you kind of need to know both sides, don't you? So that's what I like about this. It tells about the American Revolution from an Englishman's point of view and explains why the English felt like, why are you doing this? Why are you rebelling against us? This doesn't make any sense to them. It didn't make any sense. But to us, of course, it makes perfect sense. So what I particularly liked about that book was his description of the Battle of Bunker Hill. Once I recorded that, I thought, I wonder how accurate he was. So I've actually read 3 or 4 other books about, you know, the days leading up to that and the actual battle and the immediate aftermath. And Henty was absolutely spot on. And I was so inspired by all of these stories, I actually went to Boston and went to Bunker Hill so I could go to the monument and climb the top of the steps and read the plaques and say, okay, I've been to Bunker Hill. And he's right. That was one steep hill those British had to come up 3 times before they finally took this hill. And that's another thing about the Henty novels that I love. I've read many of them. I'm reasonably well-traveled person. I've been to about 15 different countries, and I always go to museums and the historical sites. Every time I'm able to go somewhere that I've read a Henty book about, he always, always, always comes through with shining colors as to the accuracy of his description, the accuracy of the politics at the time, the sentiments of the populace. He's truly an amazing historian, and that's why I keep recording his books, 31 and counting, which means I only have to record another 91 books or something.
That's all.
I get them all done. So that's those are like the top titles to me in each of the categories that I've got, and they're available on CD or as downloads right off of the website, jimhodgesaudiobooks.com.
Well, and you're bringing up something else I wanted to talk with you about, because, okay, you know, what if I want everything that you've described, which that was wonderful, by the way, so inspiring. I'm wanting to go and get all of these now, but what if I want even more than the books that you've just described? What's the most economical way for me to get all of those?
Economical would be to join the Download a Month Club. A CD of any one of those titles would be $25 And with the new shipping rates in the country, I have to charge $5 shipping for a single CD. And if you live in Canada, I have to charge $10 to ship one CD to any Canadian address. It's really kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But the Download a Month Club, you can download one book a month for $6.99 a month. So if you join the club, you will give me your credit card information and your contact information, obviously, and we'll charge you $6.99. And in exchange for that, I will email you automatically a coupon code. You would come back to the site, place one download into your cart, go to the checkout, enter that coupon code, and pay for it with the coupon. And you will have immediate access to that audiobook. So a download is $18 on the website. So a CD is $25 plus shipping. A download is $18. If you join the Download a Month Club, and I do ask that you remain a member for 12 months mm-hmm. because you're getting a really good deal, and I'm
right.
selling for a significant discount. So if you don't mind, I would really appreciate it if you would stay a member for 12 months. Then you've got 12 audiobooks for the cost of maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
And you will download it to your computer and then sync your phone or your iPod or whatever it is you listen to on the fly. And you own that audiobook. And you can put it on as many devices as you want. I would make, and I, you know, this is, I like to make sure that my customers know what they're getting before they buy. So on my homepage, maybe a halfway down, there's a blue button in the middle of the page that says listen to free samples. Click on that.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them. You know, make sure that you like the sound of my voice. Mm-hmm. That's really important. If you want to get a free download of an entire audiobook, I make Under Drake's Flag available for a free download. Now, you have to give me your email address. Okay, fair trade. You give me your email address, I'll give you an audiobook. Under Drake's Flag is a great story about Sir Francis Drake circumnavigating the globe. And it's a very adventurous novel, and it's a lot of fun. And that's for free if you give me your email address. And then if you listen to the samples, you go, huh, that sounds pretty good. And you get the free download, and the kids listen to it, and they like it. Come back and join the Download a Month Club, and you can have access to all of this for $6.99 a month, really?
Yeah, that's
it's really a great price.
It really, really is. Well, this has just been wonderful, and I know it's going to be a podcast episode here that people are going to want to bookmark so that they can come back to it and listen again to what you say are the absolute favorites that you have. I can't wait to get them for my family. I will be listening for sure. Jim, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy recording schedule to visit with us.
Certainly. Thank you, Dr. Wilson. I appreciate that. And thanks for having me.
To find the links mentioned in this episode, go to homeschoolsanity.com/best audiobooks. Join me next week as we discuss why you're still an angry parent and what to do about it. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me. Happy, healthy homeschooling can be yours. It begins with one small step. Let's continue the conversation on social media. I'm at PsychoWith6. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.